Welcome to our first sermon in our sermon series entitled, Five Decisions That Will Change Your Life. Today's sermon title, Decision 1, I Will Invest in My Spiritual Life. Open your Bible to Colossians 2, verses 6 through 7, and let's begin.
O Lord, you are the decisive God. You choose to be patient and you choose to act. Please guide us through the process of making good decisions. Specifically, help us to make the good decision to invest in our spiritual lives this year. First, show us the value of being rooted and built up in our faith. Then teach us continue to develop and grow strong in our spiritual lives. Bless this church with the people, the willingness, and the resources to grow healthy souls around us. In Christ's name, amen. Reading a new book, new biography of Leonardo da Vinci. And the author's structure for the book is to tell us what the things he produced tells us about him. He was kind of a private man. But if we look at what he produced, it tells us a lot about him. This picture that I have up here is called the Adoration of the Magi, and it is the beginning of a painting that art critics say, if Da Vinci would have finished it, it would have been one of the great classics of the Renaissance. But as you can see, it's not finished. The people who study this kind of thing says he solved all the problems of laying this painting out. This is a very complex painting. I can't remember how many people were in it. 28 characters in it, not counting animals. He did all the hard work of laying it out, sat it down, and went on to something else. Never finished the painting. He was going to get paid a lot of money for this painting. Instead, the people he did the commission for ended up very angry with him because he never finished it and they hired somebody else to do it. It wasn't Leonardo, but at least it was an artist who had finished their work. This isn't the only painting he did this to. He was notorious for not finishing the job. It makes me think Leonardo would have been a good Christian. It makes me think Leonardo would have fit in the modern church. We're very good at starting things, but doing the hard work of finishing is another thing, isn't it? We're very, very good at saying, I'm going to get started on my spiritual life, but just not yet. Someday I'm gonna work on my soul, but probably not today. Someday I hope to finish this project that God created so that I can stand before the Almighty a finished product. We love the idea, but the follow-through and finishing the painting, that's another thing. We're starting a new sermon series today on five decisions that will change your life. And the first decision that will change your life is investing in your spiritual life. Paul tells us in Colossians chapter 2, verse 6, as you received Christ Jesus, the Lord, walk around in him. I want to focus on the first phrase, as you received Christ. You see, there is no spiritual life without receiving Christ. Spiritual life is not something you give yourself. It is a gift that Christ gives you. Do you get that? Your spiritual life is not you getting your act together and being a better person. Your spiritual life is a supernatural act where Christ gives you a life you can't get any other way. In Christian theology, we call this salvation. In In more developed theology, we call this ordo salutis. Let me teach you a Latin phrase. Ordo salutis. Say it with me. Ordo salutis. You know Latin theology. Aren't you glad you come to this church? It simply means the order of salvation. What's going on for Christ to give me spiritual life? The very first thing is, Paul says, we are elect before the foundation of the earth. Before the world was ever created, God said, I'm going to give you special grace. The next step is regeneration. That means we were dead in trespasses and sin, but Christ has made us alive again. There's something in our spiritual nature that died, and Christ regenerates that. He gives it new life. The next is called calling. This is where I start to recognize something's happening. I become aware within myself that in some way, God is calling me. I feel interested in a way I've never been interested in before. I feel a longing for God. There is a change of my heart. God is calling me, and I begin to recognize something is stirring within my inner self. And then the part that is so famous is saving faith. We come to that moment where we say to Christ, yes, I receive you as my Savior. I want you to forgive my sins and make me acceptable to God. And then there's this wonderful idea that Paul talks about in the book of Romans. We are declared right. Christ stands up to the Father and says, my work is imputed to this one, and they are declared right. And then finally, there's this lifelong part of salvation that's called sanctification, where God works on our souls and finishes the painting. Do you see? This is what Paul means when he says, as you received Christ. He doesn't just mean a moment of decision. He means the universal plan of God to make people acceptable to live with him forever and ever. Then he said, as you received Christ Jesus, walk around in him. So I want to ask tonight, have you ever received Christ? Is your religion more than a set of habits? Has there ever been a moment where you said to God, I'm sorry I have failed you. I receive Christ. Could he please forgive my sin and work in my soul? There's nothing until you do that, church. But after you do it, it's not done. If the only proof you have that you're alive is a birth certificate, you're in trouble. If the only proof you have that you are spiritually alive is you can tell a story that happened 42 years ago, you're in trouble. The proof that I'm a Christian is not I have a baptismal certificate or not that I went forward when Billy Graham was preaching. The proof that I'm a Christian is I live like a Christian every day. That's what it means to walk around in him. I have a Christian lifestyle. Listen, a Christian lifestyle is not a set of rules. I know some of you learned that. Well, if you're a Christian, you have to obey these rules. No, it is it's an attitude and approach to life. You can obey all the church's rules and have a bad attitude. I've met people like that my whole life. Bad attitude. But they obey the rules, and they tell you how they obey the rules. Christianity is not a set of customs and traditions. It's a sensitivity to the reality of Christ in our daily lives. Christianity is not a set of duties. It is an ambition to please God in our daily activities. Christianity is not fearfully groveling before the Almighty. It's living an adventure of faith. Do you see? Christianity is something I do every day because it's who I am. It's not a set of rules, customs, traditions, duties, or obligations. It's an inner connection to Christ that makes me a different person than I would have been without Christ. So then Paul says this, verse 7. As you received Christ Jesus as Lord, now you need to understand that you have been rooted and you have been built up. And I want to look at these two words before we go farther. It's important that we don't miss these are passive verbs. I don't root myself. Have you ever planted a tree? I've never seen a tree say, hey, today would be a good day for me to plant myself. Waddle itself out to the place in the yard, dig its own hole, jump in, and fill the dirt back in. A tree doesn't root itself. It gets rooted. It doesn't root itself. All right, are we on that? And that's the word Paul does here. When we built a new addition, I saw the foundations. They didn't dig themselves. They didn't pour concrete in there themselves. Somebody else did that. All right, this is what Paul is saying. If you're going to have a spiritual life, it has to be rooted. That is something that happens to you. That's not something that you do. All right, do we have that in our heads? All right, then what do we mean by that? How do I get rooted? How do I have a firm foundation? Well, what is the foundation? What is the rooting? It's Christ. Do you see this? No other foundation can be laid than the foundation that has already been laid, which is Jesus Christ. Paul said that to the church in Rome. All right. If you're going to have a Christian, if you're going to be solidly founded as a Christian, it's based on a healthy relationship to Christ, and nothing takes its place. You see? Because Christ is continually going to do something for yourself that you can't do for. Christ is going to continually do for you something you can't do for yourself. I have to be rooted in Christ. The foundation of my life has to be in Christ. And that's something that he does and continues to do. Which is why if you let a week go by and you don't spend any time with Christ, your Christian life becomes anemic. You start wondering about it all. Because there's the roots that the soul thrives in are in Christ. Remember Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. Unless you abide in me, you cannot bear fruit. The whole Christian life is an expression of the fruit that comes through the roots that are in Christ Jesus. The foundation is the teaching of Christ and the apostles. But I also want to say it's a stable relationship with the church. I'm tired of people talking to me about, oh, I'm kingdom-minded. No, you're not committed. That's just a fancy way of saying I won't commit myself. Oh, I'm kingdom-minded. Ah, the kingdom. Show me the kingdom. I'll show you the church. Christ died for the church. Can somebody say amen? There is this brand of Christianity that is like religious musical chairs. What's the newest show in town? This business of just being flighty about churches, you're never going to be spiritually developed. You may be spiritually entertained, but you're never going to be spiritually developed if you don't have some stability about church. And don't argue with me, but I've watched this for 35 years. I've watched for 35 years people who get rooted and have a stable relationship in church, I've watched them thrive. I know other people who play musical chairs. They shuffle here, they shuffle there. They're spiritually no more developed today than they were 10 years ago because they're not rooted. There's no foundation there. They have a mobile home Christianity. Hop in the RV and go to the next religious campground. Camp out there for a little bit. Hop in the RV, go to the next religious campground. Say, Doc, that's pretty harsh. No, that's truth. That's what the truth sounds like. So, if I'm going to have a healthy spiritual life, I got to have some roots. There's got to be something stable. You can't build or grow unless you get this right. And now I don't want to just have a foundation. I want to start building up on that foundation. Now listen, this word is passive also. You aren't doing the building, somebody else is doing the building. You get that? In the very same way that you don't dig your own foundation and you don't root yourself, this building up is something that happens to you. The Christian life requires a building up. It doesn't come as a finished product. What builds us up? I believe good sermons. I kill myself to show up here with good sermons. They're not all good, but it doesn't mean because I didn't try my heart out. Here's what happens. Most people, their original building up of their spiritual self happens in sermons. And if they're thin, it stunts your growth. I want to talk about, look, Paul said, you don't need the bottle anymore. Sit down, have some steak. You'll enjoy it much more. Vegetarians, I don't know what to tell you. He didn't say anything about eating legumes. But I'm sure they're fine. Part of being built up is getting sermons that push us, that demand something of us, that call out something better in us, that teach us more. If you know I do my best. I teach you art history. I teach you science. I teach you literature, philosophy, theology. I want you to be built up. I don't want to have a bunch of third graders who just come here to play with the toys. I believe habitual awareness of God builds us up. The more I am aware of God, the more I'm being built up. I believe going to a good life group will build you up. And if you're in a life group, you got to do more than talk about how bad the Browns are. You got to talk about souls and development and maturity and help each other and pray for each other. I believe going to good seminars will build you up. Listen, correct original instruction in the Bible will build you up. Some of you have to learn everything all over again because what you got taught to begin with was just not true. It was wrong. It was somebody's religious idea, but it wasn't Bible. I believe a quality introduction to the Bible and theology will build you up. And you see, these are things that somebody else does at a time in our lives when we need to be built. We just can't do it for ourselves. So, the Christian life requires somebody laying a foundation in our life, and that's Jesus Christ. The Christian life requires building up, and that's what the church does. We build each other up in the most holy faith. Now the verb tense changes from passive, now it's active. No, not this one, the next one, I'm sorry. This one is still passive. Being established or being made firm. I read a good article this week about how long does it take to create a new habit. So I've heard years and years and years, it takes 21 days to create a new habit. Anybody ever heard the 21 days? Yeah. It turns out new research says that's not true. And I could have guessed 21 days isn't true. It's not enough. I've tried the 21-day thing. It's not enough days. It takes more. A new research project shows that it takes closer to 66 days. And if the habit is a hard habit, it takes even more than that. There are daily practices that have to be habits in our lives. They absolutely have to be habits in our lives. They have to be as habitual to our life as something like getting up in the morning, taking a shower, brushing your teeth, and getting dressed. That's a habit. Hopefully. If you haven't started that habit, begin immediately. I never get out of bed in the morning and go, well, am I going to get dressed today? Am I going to brush my teeth today? Or am I just going to walk around and poison anything that gets within 50 feet of me? These are life habits. We don't even think about them anymore. All right, if we're going to have a healthy Christian life, we've got to have some healthy habits. They're necessary. Daily Bible reading and thoughtfulness. Daily prayer, where you talk to God about things that are important in your life, and you let God whisper to your heart. A growing awareness of how to please God with my spiritual gift. You all have a spiritual gift. It's God's way of working through your life and helping you to be pleasing to Him. Being built up means, being established means you get better and better at your awareness of how God works through your life and what is pleasing to Him. Healthy spiritual discussions. I believe in advanced Bible study and theology. I believe if you stop growing, you stop growing. And wherever you stop growing, you leave the painting unfinished. Church? I've read the Bible my whole life. Some of you know the preacher. He comes here on Saturday nights when he's feeling good. His punishment used to be, go outline 3 chapters of the Bible. That was my punishment. I've been doing this my whole life. But guess what? I haven't arrived. There's room to grow. Church? I've read theology for the last 35 years. I've taught theology for most of that time. There's still room to grow. If you think you know it all, you have a problem. We all can grow. And if your Christianity is boring, it is a big warning that you have plateaued somewhere, because Christianity is an adventure that isn't boring. In fact, if you look in the bulletin, you could take a theology class here. I'm teaching verse by verse through the book of Isaiah. Much of that is right out of the Hebrew text. The next one. Even as you have been taught, what teaching we accept makes a major difference in our lives. There are religious wackos out there. This is what Paul says. Paul says, you've been rooted. Somebody has done some building in your life. Somebody has affirmed that building and helped you grow to another level. You're adding additions to your spiritual life. The teaching you have received is important. There's religious wackos out there. From time to time, I get letters or emails from religious wackos. God told me to tell you. Don't send me a letter like that. I like you. I don't want to put you in the religious wacko category. God doesn't send text messages. Church. Especially ones that are so esoteric, God can't even figure them out. All right. I want to tell you, if you listen to the teaching of this church, this is what you're going to hear. We believe in the Bible. I don't apologize. I make no qualms about it. This is the book, and I believe in it. Do I understand every page of it? No. But I'm like Augustine. I believe so that I can understand. You can't understand without believing, because faith is a way of knowing. And without faith, you can't know some things. I believe this book. I believe this book so much that I've dedicated all kinds of time to learn how to read it in the original language. I believe this book. Every sermon you ever hear me preach or anybody else preach here is going to be from the Bible. We believe in the Bible. If somebody preaches a sermon that's not from the Bible, they're going to be in big trouble with me. I am a Calvinist. That is a form of theology. You've heard bad things about it. Before you make up your mind that all Calvinists hate people and send babies to hell, maybe you should read him yourself, church. It means I believe in piety. Piety means that love and reverence for God that comes from knowing every good thing in my life comes from God. Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. Because without this knowledge, you will never trust him or render him willing service. That's what it means to be a Calvinist right there. That's a paraphrase from Big John himself. I'm non-denominational. I don't have loyalty to denominational theologies and denominational centers. I have loyalty to this church. I am responsible to elders because the New Testament tells me you have elders in your church. I can't find denominational headquarters in the Bible. If you find that, let me know, would you please? I'm committed to grace. If we make a mistake, we're going to make a mistake on the side of grace. We're not going to make a mistake on being harsh and judgmental. I'm evangelical. That means I want to find God's lost kids and bring them home. That means there are lost souls out there, and it's a church's job to find them. I am a believer in the church. I like church. I go to church. I value church. If people have a bad attitude about church, share it with somebody else. I like this place. I like going to church. Church bashing is old. Don't bash this church to me. I don't want to hear it. I love this place. Just like you don't insult a man's wife to his face, don't insult my church to me. I love this place. If you don't like it, tell the elders. I don't want to hear it. I love this place. I'm going to be giving the best I have as long as I live to this place. Increasing in thanksgiving. What you are thankful for evidences your spiritual growth. Do you ever find time? Do you ever find when it's prayer time, all you can do is go through the litany of stuff you're thankful for? It's hard. Sometimes it's hard for me to talk to God about anything other than what I'm thankful for. Do you ever find that? That's a healthy soul. I'm not bragging on myself. I mean, God has worked on me twice as hard as any of you. The Lord is my shepherd. That means he bull ropes me and drags me forward. But how often your heart says thank you is a sign of spiritual development. If your heart doesn't say thank you very often, you got a problem. You say, Doc, you don't know how hard I have it. Paul didn't say, increasing in thanksgiving as life treats you the way you want to be treated. He says, grow a heart that can see the many ways you're blessed. What you say thank you for and how often you say thank you is an evidence of spiritual development. All right. It's easier to grow if you're keeping track of something. Right? A buddy of mine in this church got me hooked up on this app where I write down every day what I eat, and then the deal tells me how many calories it is. I just know why I'm so fat. All right. We've got journals. I don't want you to take these home and write your friends' addresses and telephone numbers in those. If you want to do that, see me. I'll give you a couple bucks. You can go to Borders or Barnes and Nobles or whatever. Staples. Where are we, Doug? Where do you get this stuff? All right. This is to keep track of a spiritual life. Chet's put a nice little insert in here about spiritually journaling. If you want to start tracking your spiritual life, take one of these. And track your spiritual life. See what's happening. If you don't write anything down for 2 weeks, that's a problem. Right? Nobody ever formed a habit by doing something once every 2 weeks. All right. In fact, write these things down. You can use them in your life group. 5 steps to building a new habit. If you want to invest in your spiritual development, here are 5 steps. 1, start with a small habit. Don't declare yourself a monk tomorrow. That's a pretty big habit. All right. Start with a small habit. 2, increase the habit in small ways. All right, I'm going to start, but my habit is I'm going to read the Bible 5 minutes every morning. All right, when I get that down, what if I say I'm going to read the Bible 5 minutes every morning and 5 minutes every night? Now I'm doing it 10 minutes. All right. 3, as you build up, break up. Praying for an hour is harder than you think. Anybody? Praying for an hour is pretty tough work. But what if you prayed for 6 minutes 10 times a day? You could pray for an hour every day. You're just breaking it up into doable chunks. 4, if you slip, restart quickly. All right, if you miss a day, don't say, oh, I missed a day, I'll quit. Just start. Finally, be patient and create a sustainable pace. You could make an investment in your spiritual life. You could create new habits, and these new habits would allow you to be a finished painting. Because, church, without these spiritual habits, you're going to be an unfinished painting. And that's not God's desire for us. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that we could make the decision to invest in our spiritual lives. I pray that we could be serious about it. We could make a good plan, and we could launch into it every day. I pray that we would bless and encourage each other in doing this. I pray that this church would be a place where people could grow and thrive. People could grow up in the most holy faith. I pray that we would love helping each other mature in Christ. And I pray this would all result in you being honored. Amen.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information about Christ Church, check us out on the web at christchurchohio.org. If we can be of any help to you, call us at 440-236-8282. Until next time, blessings to you.